I tell you that we've got a big show ahead for you guys almost every day. Sometimes we're, of course, unduly honest, as we tend to be on the Young Turks, and we'll tell you that we have a shout show, that there's not a lot in the news. Now, that hasn't happened in quite some time since the advent of Trump, of course. But today, we have a gigantic show. A little bit later in the program, the repeal of Obamacare, what is in the replacement? I will give you all the details. In the second hour, Anna and I will go through how they plan to defund Planned Parenthood through the repeal of Obamacare, and how they're obsessed with lottery winners. They do not want lottery winners getting health care from the government. Okay, very, very important. Okay, they're just, but a theme of today's show, as you'll see, is the right wing hatred of the poor, and as you'll see in the first segment, of other races. Speaking of which, that brings us to Ben Carson. That's also later in the program. It turns out the slaves were immigrants, and they came here for the American dream. Okay, that is an interesting theory we will discuss later in the program. And then WikiLeaks with a giant revelations, including whether the CIA can control your television and your car. Okay, no, you will be watching Two and a Half Men. No, that's not why they control your TV. Okay. And that's a slightly old school reference at this point. Okay, now, having said that, we are going to start with fun and disaster. Welcome to the Young Turks. Let's start with fun combined with disaster. Alex Jones. Okay, now we just found out that President Trump was tweeting about how President Obama had wiretapped him during the campaign. Now, of course, he's offered no evidence for that, and almost all the publications that covered it, including Raw Story, described where he got that information from that led him to that tirade. They explained in the story yesterday, they said, at this juncture, it appears most likely that President Trump got the idea that Obama wiretapped Trump Towers from right-wing news sites, Breitbart.com and InfoWars, which both, along with conservative radio shouter Mark Levin, ran with the wiretap story on Thursday and Friday, in spite of lack of evidence supporting the charges. So now this is dozens of references now to President Trump getting his news from InfoWars. So I want to give you a sense of the news that comes out of InfoWars. We've done a couple of these segments before where we found out that Alex Jones believes that 90% of the world is going to be killed by the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, where we found out that the real problems in the world are the devil and aliens. Whether they're working with each other or it's alien versus predator, I don't know yet, but I do know they aim to kill a lot of us. So this is the kind of information that the president is getting now. And the president's a full-blown conspiracy theorist and also a full-blown idiot. Speaking of which, that brings us back to Alex Jones. So this is put together by Vice, so I want to give them credit for that, and we'll have the link, full link below for the full video. And it just gives a fun little sense of whether Alex Jones is stable or not, and whether he can keep it together. Now, he's on some terrestrial radio stations, so he's got to try to keep it together. And he makes an effort here throughout these clips, which you will enjoy.
Your ass! You just get that through your stinking traitorous heads! Excuse me, I apologize. I only have a lot of Christian affiliates. I am a Christian. But I will stomp your head in if you start a fight with me, you thug scum! Anyways, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Bunch of cowards! Excuse me. I'm not controlling myself right now. She is a demon damned to hell. Excuse me. I've been trying to control myself, trying to be professional about this. But at a certain point, I just am just really getting pissed. Excuse me. We're not going to have Pepsi with baby flavoring in it. I mean, what the hell have we become? Excuse me. If I didn't have a liberal from New York in the bathroom, I couldn't wipe my ass. Excuse me. I apologize. We have a family audience. That was wrong, and I won't do it again. You think I'm a coward like you? I'm sorry, you dishonorable, cowardly pieces of garbage. Excuse me.
Coming for you. Coming for you. We know what you're doing.
I'm sorry. Piles of manipulative, lying crap. Excuse me. They're going to burn in hell. Excuse me. This is a time bomb. Excuse me.
You're a big tough guy, buddy. You just rammed into me.
How do you like that? Now hit me in the face and see what happens, punk. I'm sorry. There's an attack on the species by a guild of psychopaths, and they must be defeated. I'm going to settle down. Excuse me. I'm going to come back for the next 2 seconds to take your calls. Excuse me.
Great job by Vice putting that together. Okay. Excuse me. So this gives you a sense of whether it is intended, like he's doing it for showmanship, or if he really can't control himself. I think we have the answer. He can't control himself. I mean, to be fair though, he is.
We're under attack.
Excuse me. Hold on.
It's not human intelligence.
Sorry. Hold on. Excuse me.
I want to go to space.
Alex, I think you might already be there. Guy's totally cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Cannot control himself if paid to. And in the midst of all that, Pepsi with baby flavoring? And this is the guy our president listens to for news. Wow. Who's the crazy one now? Okay. Excuse me. God, that was funny. That was fun for everybody. All right, we're moving forward. So now, speaking of crazy, we stay in crazy town and stay with Katrina Pearson. Katrina Pearson was a spokesperson for the Trump campaign. You saw her a lot on TV during the campaign, and she would say outrageous things, but it was okay. It was all in service to Donald Trump, and the dear leader did in fact, of course, had to be served. And if the truth got mangled along the way, and if she was a little too combative, well, that's part of the business, right? And she, as Raw Story reminds us, among other things, she blamed former President Barack Obama for the 2004 death of Muslim American soldier Humayun Khan, which makes no sense. This, and as Raw Story explains there, despite the fact that Obama was just a state senator at the time, she flat out denied that then candidate Trump had really proposed a ban on all Muslims entering the United States, despite proposing exactly that. And she claimed that presidential candidates releasing their tax returns was a novelty tradition, despite the fact that it's been done by every presidential nominee since 1970s. Now look, we can go on and on, and she would also attack people that were on the other side nonstop. Okay, we could roll tape forever. So for that loyalty, I assume that she's got some sort of post in the White House. We just don't know it. Because it's, look, she's relatively inexperienced in government, so she's working her way up. No, she got no post at all. So all the people who gave Donald Trump their loyalty, Chris Christie, Newt Gingrich, Rudy Giuliani, whatever happened to Scotty Nell Hughes, Katrina Pearson, sorry, it doesn't work that way. The dear leader takes, and unless you give him actual hard cold cash, it's not much coming back in your direction. But if you give him cash, then you got a spot in the cabinet or in the government. And now get a load of the reason why they did not have her in the government. Well, it turns out they thought that she was too combative and unstable. The people who told her to do exactly that on television over and over again. So Trump campaign source says, I love Katrina, but she was bitching to everyone that they should have chosen her and not Sean, as in Sean Spicer for White House press secretary. It got back to Jared Kushner and Reince Priebus, and they ultimately decided they just didn't want to deal with that sort of drama. Now, when that sort of drama helps Donald Trump, he loves it. That's good ratings, you get the campaign fodder out there, create some drama, get some votes, yell at other people. Oh, when it comes to us, no, we don't need that kind of drama. Katrina, you've been of good service, now move along. Now, on your way out, of course, there is a consolation prize, and that's money. So you'll now be part of the pro-Trump advocacy group called America First policies. Of course, she goes on to say, oh, the White House press secretary, no, I didn't want that. In the government, at the White House, having real power. No, I didn't want that. No, it's no big deal to me at all. No, yeah, I like consolation prizes. So, in other words, Katrina, good job, little pat on the head. Get paid off by some rich guy funding America First policies, but keep your mouth shut, okay? And stop your bitching. How did all those attacks against fellow women turn out for you, Katrina Pearson? Now, all of a sudden, the boys in charge tell you to stop your bitching. Sad day for you. Okay, now, these stories are fun, interesting, but they pale in comparison to the next story I'm about to give you. Okay. Steve Bannon is chief advisor to the president of the United States, and often he's called racist. He bragged about how Breitbart, the website that he ran, was the home of the alt-right, that's for white supremacists. And almost everyone agrees to that, except some in the alt-right. Some in the alt-right are proud of being white supremacists, and others say, no, that's slightly unfair. I mean, we're Judeo-Christian supremacists, we're supremacists of different ilks, etc. Okay, so is Steve Bannon really racist? Well, we might settle that today, because Paul Blumenthal in Huffington Post did some wonderful research. So first, he noticed that Steve Bannon kept talking about this thing called the Camp of the Saints. Here, let me give you Bannon's quotes on it, and then we'll tell you what the Camp of the Saints is. You're going to want to know. Okay, so he says, back in October 2015, Bannon does, it's been almost a Camp of the Saints type invasion into Central and then Western and Northern Europe, referring to immigration there from the non-European parts of the world. He said again in January 2016, the whole thing in Europe is all about immigration. It's a global issue today, this kind of global Camp of the Saints. One more, again in January 2016, it's not a migration, it's really an invasion. I call it the Camp of the Saints. And it goes on and on and on, constant reference to Camp of the Saints. I just gave you three to give you a sense of it. Okay? And it is not immigration, it's an invasion. So what in the world is this thing? It turns out it's an obscure novel from 1973. It's a French novel called The Camp of the Saints. And it is about an invasion of the white world and the end of the white world when non-white people come to Europe. Oh, wow. That's interesting. Now, this is apparently popular in the alt-right. It's been popular in the far-right for a long time in Europe and America. Very rich right-wing philanthropists fund to reprint this from time to time. So even if it's not making money, they want to subsidize this kind of propaganda. So, well, okay, what's in the book? Well, they went and asked Stanford University French professor about this. And they're familiar with the book, and they explain it this way. This book is racist in the literal sense of the term. It uses race as the main characterization of characters. It describes the takeover of Europe by waves of immigrants that wash ashore like the plague. Okay, that sounds pretty bad. It's about to get worse. Back in 1975, Kirkus Reviews did a review of this book when it first came out. Here's how they described it. They said, the publishers are presenting the Camp of the Saints as a major event, and it probably is. In much the same sense that Mein Kampf was a major event. Damn. Okay, wow. I'm going to tell you the plot in a second. You'll make up your own mind. One last quote from a reviewer. In this case, it's actually a political figure, Linda Chavez. She worked under Ronald Reagan. She worked under George W. Bush. Deeply conservative, deeply right-wing. Nonetheless, she says about the book, because it is true, quote, it is a really shockingly racist. And to have the counselor to the president see this as one of his touchstones, I think says volumes about his attitude. Now, I never heard of this before, and I read those quotes about the reviews before I knew what the plot of the book was. I was like, shockingly racist. I don't know, it's after covering the news for over 20 years, after covering these guys for a couple of years, it's hard to shock me. So let's see if it's actually shocking. Well, it turns out the plot of the book is about 800,000 Indians are coming to France as immigrants, as refugees, because they're impoverished. They're led by a figure that is called the Turd Eater. He literally eats crap in this book. He is the leader of in this case India's, but really non-Western world overall. Okay, now then the book says, all right, are the French going to have the courage to do the right thing? Oh, okay, what's the right thing? To murder all of them. No, not to block the ship and not let it come into France because they're worried about the population or the environment or whatever. No. The right thing in the book is to murder 800,000 immigrants who are impoverished and seeking help. Wow. You know what? That is actually shockingly racist. So the main hero of the book is a right winger who murders immigrants and also murders people on the left who try to help immigrants. That's the hero of the book. Okay, I'm going to go back to Blumenthal here for a description of some of the things that happened in the book. He says, poor black and brown people literally overrun Western civilization in this book. Chinese people pour into Russia. The Queen of England is forced to marry her son to a Pakistani woman. Egads. The mayor of New York must house an African-American family in Gracie Mansion. Look at that worldview. To them, having black people at Gracie Mansion is like unthinkable. Like he's forced to house them. Well, as it turns out in real life, he's not forced to house them. He houses them anyway because he's married to an African-American. And his family is obviously African-American. So, wow, that came true. What a horror story. But if you're deeply racist, that is a horror story. To be forced to marry a Pakistani woman. Oh my God. And to house African-Americans. This is what Steve Bannon thinks is such a great book and his guide for immigration. These people are nuts. I'm not anywhere near done. Get a load of this. This explains a lot. They refer to the left that actually believes that we shouldn't be racist and that we should help people across the world as their culturally cuckolded white supporters. I don't know if that's where this whole cuck craze began, but that is a quote from the book about these guys who want to help other human beings, cucks. Okay, next time you know you use it, understand at least partly where it came from. The book glorifies colonial wars of conquest and the formation of the Ku Klux Klan, in case you were confused as to whether it was racist enough. And then how does it describe brown people in the book? Well, in the case of the boat of immigrants, they say that they were, of course, hypersexualized. It's another old racist stereotype trope. They say there were everywhere rivers of sperm streaming over bodies, oozing between breasts and buttocks and thighs and lips and fingers. As usual, they're obsessed with sex from people of different skin colors. And they say it's terrible. Oh, the oozing sperm. Let me tell you more and more about it. Very par for the course for deep racists, like the person who wrote this book and the person who celebrates this book, which is, of course, Steve Bannon. And finally, let me give you a sense of the main protagonist of this book. As Huffington Post explains, as he talks to the hippie he will soon kill, Calgo, that's the hero, explains how the youth went so wrong. That's, quote, that scorn of a people for other races, the knowledge that one's own is the best, the triumphant joy at feeling oneself to be part of humanity's finest. None of that had ever filled these youngsters' addled brains. So if you're not a racist and you don't hate the other races, your brain has been addled. You've been cuckolded by people who actually care about other human beings. This is chief advisor to the president of the United States. He nonstop praises this book and says it's a warning for what might happen. By the way, you know what else happens in the book when the immigrants finally land in France? In their mind, in the book, that triggers and was meant to trigger the rest of the world overthrowing the Western powers. Because then they view that as the weakness of white people, that they would accept other people, and hence they must be overthrown and murdered and killed. Because it is a classic case of projection. Since we murdered, conquered, took over, abused, we assume they must have the same secret plan. So that is why Steve Bannon constantly talks about immigration, not in terms of helping the poor, the needy, but talks about it in terms of an invasion, as this book, The Camp of the Saints, does. In fact, now let's go back to Bannon. In April of 2016, he says, the refugee crisis didn't just happen by happenstance, which again is a different kind of mental statement. What do you mean it didn't happen by happenstance? Do you mean that the non-Western world planned to pretend to have a war in Syria and pretended that the civil war was so terrible that it caused 4 to 5 million people to be displaced, but actually it's a secret plot by the brown people to come into France and Germany and America and take it over in their secret invasion? Lunatics. And then he continues in that same statement. These are not war refugees. It's something much more insidious going on. Absolute freaking lunatic. He thinks that there's this giant conspiracy where these immigrants are not actually running from their war-torn area. What? Everybody made that up. It's like the moon landing. It never happened. Everything is just total fantasy. There is no civil war there. Iraq didn't actually happen. None of this happened. It's actually a plot by the brown people to take over our culture, our beloved white culture. In fact, in June of 2016, he says to, oh, by the way, Jeff Sessions of all people, in another interview, do you believe the elites in this country have the backbone, have the belief in the underlying principles of the Judeo-Christian West to actually win this war? Referring to immigration. In his mind, this is a war, and he thinks it's brown people versus white people, Western civilization versus non-Western. And the answer is that you win the war. How do you win a war? Well, as the Camp of the Saints explain, you murder them all. Chief advisor to the President of the United States. I have to confess that Linda Chavez was right. He is shockingly racist. Even I had no idea how racist he was. Wow. Young Turks. Joseph's absolutely crazy. Excuse me. Okay. Julia Mahoney writes in, it's like Alex is having a war with the good voice and the bad voice in his head in front of an audience. Santos Juante writes in, Alex Jones appears to be possessed by those space aliens. Maybe that's what explains it. And then your mama says, with books like this on Bannon's must read list, I'd love to see what else is on his recommended Amazon reading list. Well, because of the WikiLeaks story we're going to do later in the program, you might find out. Okay. And for the good folks who are donating to our journalism campaign, much love. Thank you. Let me read off a couple of names. $15 from Davidson in Virginia, $27 from Jeffrey in New York, and $27 from Joy in Kentucky. Thank you, Joy, Jeffrey, all of you guys. Much, much appreciated. All right. Now, let's talk about disastrous news about the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. Okay. Well, the Republicans have finally announced how they are going to repeal and replace Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Well, it's not good news. Well, to be fair, it depends on who you are. If you're young, there's actually a little bit of good news in there. If you're old, not so much. If you're rich, wonderful news in there. If you're poor and need health insurance, not so much. So, let's go to a description. The plan endorsed by House Speaker Paul Ryan, by contrast to Obamacare, offers less financial assistance to low-income people, likely resulting in millions of Americans losing the health coverage they have today, and provides tax credits to people with higher incomes. Wow, isn't that nice of them? The bill scraps key consumer protections. Consumers, do we really have to protect them? Why don't we protect the rich instead? The legislation is a vehicle for massive tax cuts for rich people and corporations, paid for by slashing assistance to poor and middle class people. Enjoy. Now, if you're, by the way, one of those poor elderly people who voted for Donald Trump thinking, oh, I'm finally going to get change. Congratulations, you're about to get change. Now, I'm going to give you the depth of how much your bill can go up in a second. But before we do that, actually, let's pause here to bring in Donald Trump. Because I was led to believe by Trump during the campaign that you weren't going to lose your insurance and it wasn't going to cost you anything more and you were going to get all the benefits. Phones for everybody, cars for everybody. You get a car, you get a car, you get health insurance, you get health insurance. You think I'm kidding? Look, it's not hyperbole. Watch Trump.
What's your plan for Obamacare?
Obamacare is going to be repealed and replaced. Obamacare is a disaster. If you look at what's going on with premiums, where they're up 45, 50, 55%.
So how do you fix it?
There's many different ways, by the way. Everybody's got to be covered. This is an un-Republican thing for me to say, because a lot of times they say, no, no, the lower 25%, they can't afford private. But
universal health care.
I am going to take care of everybody. I don't care if it costs me votes or not. Everybody's going to be taken care of much better than they're taken care of now.
The uninsured person?
Right.
Is going to be taken care
They're
of.
They're going to be
How?
Taken care of.
How?
I would make a deal with existing hospitals to take care of people. And you know what? This is probably.
Make a deal. Who pays for it?
The government's going to pay for it. And people are going to be able to go out and negotiate great plans with lots of different competition, with lots of competitors, with great companies. And they can have their doctors, they can have their plans, they can have everything.
Turns out not so much. Universal health care paid for by the government, and they can have everything. That's what he just promised you. You just saw it there. Rewind it if you want and watch it again. Okay, yes, that would actually be fairly progressive. It'd be much more progressive than Obamacare. It'd be way to the left of Obamacare. That is not what we got here. We got pretty much the exact opposite. The bill doesn't say how it would pay for its spending after scrapping the taxes that financed the Affordable Care Act. Because the taxes that went to the rich and large corporations in Obamacare wasn't because Obama and the Democrats are socialists who hate rich. No, it's because you have to find a way to pay for it. This stuff doesn't grow on trees. You have to be responsible. It actually decreased the deficit. Did you know that? The Affordable Care Act actually decreased the deficit. It was planned to. Now, when you take away those taxes that went to the rich and giant corporations, well, then you don't have any money left. Then you created a giant hole in the deficit. And you can't pay for the plan. And remember when Scott Pelley asked him, he's like, I'm going to do the hospitals. I mean, they're going to do it. They're going to provide it. Who's going to pay for it? The government is going to pay for it. With whose money? In fact, the House Republican leaders are poised to move the measure forward before scorekeepers at the Congressional Budget Office have made an assessment. Because that's a nonpartisan group. And when they come in and they say, yeah, you just put like a $1 trillion hole in the deficit. The Republicans are going to be like, oops, oh, sorry, we already passed it. What can we do? Oh, deficits. Huh. Don't worry about it. Deficits don't matter. This is highly irresponsible. Okay, now let's get to the details of what it does. Well, it does give cheaper premiums for younger and healthier people and new tax breaks for more affluent consumers. So if you're rich or you're young, hey, you do get a little bit of a break. Keep it real. That does happen. Okay, if you're young and healthy, as long as you're sure you're going to stay healthy, you don't have to pay quite as much. So if you're one of those people who's a right winger who doesn't care about anyone else on the planet or what might happen to you at a later time, then you're thinking, score, I knew it. He's for me and screw everyone else. Okay, now who does it hurt? Higher out-of-pocket costs, higher premiums for older and sicker people, and ultimately many more uninsured. Well, look, that's the thing about health insurance. I'm healthy now, but am I positive I'm going to be healthy next year, 5 years from now, tomorrow? That's why we get health insurance, because we're not really sure, are we? So as long as you're healthy now, yeah, you don't have to pay that much because it doesn't cost the health care companies and the health insurance companies that much to insure you. But the minute you turn sick, sad day for you. Well, that's the whole point of health insurance, because we think we're going to get sick at some point. And if you don't cover those people as much, well, then what's the point? Okay, that's a very clever plan that they've come up with. Well, you're fine if you're healthy. When you get sick, though, good luck. The Affordable Care Act limited insurers from charging older customers more than 3 times what they charge younger adults. The House bill would raise that to 5 times. This may enable younger consumers to find cheaper coverage, but older policyholders would face higher rates. Now, I want to explain to you why they do that. It's not that the insurance companies hate older people. It would be a very random discrimination. No, older people get sicker more. They're more likely to have bigger health problems, and it's more likely to cost them money. So if all you cared about was the free market, you'd say, well, that's it. Once you get to a certain age, it doesn't pay me to cover you, so go ahead and die. I'm not going to give you insurance, or your insurance is going to be $1 million. So when you're not going to be able to afford it unless you're incredibly rich, And then when you get sick, you're going to die. Ha ha, free market, baby! A death to everybody, death panels for everybody, right? Now, we don't like that, not only as Americans, but all across the world. In fact, we're far more right-wing than the rest of developed world, than the rest of Western society, than the rest of Europe, etc. Those folks have figured out, hey, the point of insurance is to make sure we're all okay when we get sick, when we get older, when we need health care. Now, this program basically says, if you're healthy, that's okay. But if you're older, now I know they got to charge you more. So even Obamacare, older people could get charged up to 3 times as much as younger people. Now this plan moves it to 5 times as much. So if you're an older American who thought Trump was going to deliver for you, we got another thought coming to you. If you thought your insurance was going to be cheaper, oh, you got a lot of new thoughts coming your way and a lot of new bills coming your way. Okay. Now, insurers could charge higher premiums to people who did not maintain continuous coverage, a lapse of more than 63 days, 30% more for their policies when they sign up again. So now it gets complicated in the weeds here, but it's funny, that provision is criticized by both sides. The right wing says, nah, we shouldn't cover them at all. Who cares, man? Let them deal with it, okay? I don't want to give any money away to people who need insurance. If they can't afford it, that's called welfare. I don't want it, right? On the other hand, if you thought, well, I don't have to worry about pre-existing conditions anymore, and the Republicans know that that's popular, that Obamacare got rid of the pre-existing condition loophole that the healthcare companies used to use, the health insurance companies, and they said, don't worry about pre-existing conditions. Well, now you have to worry again. Because you switch jobs, you lose insurance for some reason, they're going to crank up your premiums the minute they have an opportunity to. So is it cheaper for you? Nope. What happened? I thought it was going to be cheaper for everybody. I thought it was we're going to get a chicken in every pot. Okay. Starting in 2020, the federal government would no longer provide those federal funds, the Medicaid grants, for people who newly qualify under the expanded eligibility standards. So, less people qualifying to get coverage through Medicaid, plus Medicaid gets turned into block grants and they are capped. So they do not necessarily meet the needs of the citizens of that particular state. If after a while it doesn't keep up with inflation and there's just not enough money, once again, that's called sad day for you, you no longer have insurance. Did I say everybody would be insured? Why did you trust me? I'm Donald Trump and by the way, I'm a Republican. Did you not get the memo after all these years that the Republicans work for their rich donors, whether they're rich individuals or they're multinational corporations? They sign the checks and the Republicans work for them. Now, if you say a lot of times the Democrats work for them too, I hear you, brother. In fact, Obamacare was not some sort of left-wing proposal. It's almost exactly the Heritage Foundation's original proposal. The Heritage Foundation is a right-wing think tank. It's the same plan that Mitt Romney did in Massachusetts. So your two options were right-wing and massively, ridiculously right-wing. That's what happens when the donors write the checks and buy off all of our politicians. I don't know what the next step is, but some conservatives are promising it. National Review is against this, the Koch brothers are against this. They say it's too lenient on the poor. Well, we didn't put our boot firmly enough on their neck. Those guys still might somehow, some of them still able to retain insurance. Justin Amash, another Republican conservative, calls this plan, this draconian plan, Obamacare 2.0. It's never enough. There's never enough tax breaks for the rich. They got to just suck up all the money and redistribute that wealth. And if in the process you don't get insurance, you don't get healthcare coverage, what do they care? When's the last time a poor person wrote a check to a Republican? If you're not writing checks to them, you don't exist. You think they're for you? You have no idea what you're talking about. Now, how this gets resolved at the end is going to be a very interesting dynamic. Because they got to keep a couple of dozen Republicans in the House, I mean, assuming all the Democrats vote against it. And with Democrats and their craven ability to sell out and to capitulate the Republicans, I wouldn't bank on that. But if they lose some conservative Republicans, they might not be able to pass the bill. In the Senate, they only have a two-person majority. So you lose basically three because the vice president could break the tie. You lose three Republican senators in the Senate and you won't be able to pass it in the Senate. Again, don't worry. Corporate shills like Joe Manchin, pretending to be a Democrat, will probably step up to the plate and help Trump and the Republicans. But you got to be careful about each vote. And the moderates don't like this either, even the moderate Republicans. Let me tell you about that. On Monday afternoon, Republican Senators Rob Portman, Shelley Moore Capito, Cory Gardner, and Lisa Murkowski, all from states that have expanded Medicaid, warned that they could not vote for a bill that took away federal money for the expansion. So, it's not a done deal yet. You could actually, there are not very many moderate Republicans at all in Congress. But hey, there's four that are kind of moderate in this case because the people in their own states would be crushed by this bill and they're not going to be happy about it. So let them know. Let those senators know. Let the moderate Republicans, however, like two or three of them that, like I said, that remain. Let the conservative Republicans know. Let the ones that are just a regular old massively right-wing Republicans know. Let the Democrats know. If they're going to take away your insurance, they're going to increase your insurance. Let them know you are not happy with that because it's not a dictatorship yet in America. They actually have to pass laws. So this is proposed legislation. By the way, another part of this is also disastrous. They would, in essence, defund Planned Parenthood and not allow your health insurance to get to cover abortion if you want you want the tax credits to be applied to it. So which makes covering abortion much more difficult. Planned Parenthood, the tiny percentage of that is abortion. Most of it is just helps poor people and middle class people, particularly women. If you don't like that they're defunding it, well then fight. Because this is not law yet. And they fought Obamacare tooth and nail. When Obamacare was proposed, the media would not stop talking about, you need to get Republicans, you need to get Republicans to agree with the Democrats. But the Republicans were never going to agree with the Democrats because that's not what this is about. It's not a debate of ideas. They were always going to do the bidding of their donors. So they all voted against it. Now I don't hear the media talking about how they need Democratic votes. No, all of a sudden you don't need bipartisanship. That's okay. Go after the Republicans, and if the Democrats are wavering, absolutely go after them as well to make sure that this is a real fight. They fought Obamacare for at least a year and they stripped out incredibly important provisions like the public option, which could have actually made it more affordable. So let's actually fight this time for doing the right thing, for getting better coverage and having a lot more people insured in a humane way. It ain't over till it's over. Go get them. Okay. I got a lot more where that came from. I told you it's a big show. Okay, let's go to Chaffetz. So Jason Chaffetz is an extreme right winger, and he went on CNN to defend this draconian Republican healthcare proposal. Well, it seems like a lot of people are going to lose their health insurance and they're not going to be able to afford it, and it's actually going to be more expensive. What happened? I thought you said it was going to be less expensive than Obamacare. Well, basically, Chaffetz telling you, I don't care, man. That's your problem, not my problem. What he says is actually slightly worse. Watch.
Access for lower income Americans doesn't equal coverage.
Well, we're getting rid of the individual mandate. We're getting rid of those things that people said that they don't want. And you know what? Americans have choices and they've got to make a choice. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and they want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest it in their own health care. They've got to make those decisions themselves.
You really think this is the comical view that Republicans have of poor people. Oh, they're all welfare queens. They're all driving Cadillacs and they got the latest iPhones and they're living in the lap of luxury. They're just pretending to be poor. They're all cheats anyway. You know how the poor are, always living off of us. Why don't you just put your iPhone away and get healthcare? Now, first of all, I'm going to bother to give you the facts here when it's obvious on its face, but it turns out people who make $30,000 or less, an overwhelming majority of them don't have iPhones. 87% of them don't have iPhones. Okay, huh? You know why? Because they can't afford them. They're not kidding. It's not a joke. It's not a trick. they're actually poor. They actually make less than $30,000 a year, which for Chaffetz and the rest of the incredibly rich politicians we have, like $30,000, who couldn't afford that? As Rush Limbaugh once said, oh yeah, I had to check into an emergency room, I didn't have insurance, who cares? All it cost me was half an SUV. Half an SUV's price. And they're like, that's no big deal, right? Don't you all have that? They have no empathy whatsoever. And by the way, if iPhone doesn't cost anywhere near as much as healthcare insurance does, let alone if you don't have insurance, healthcare coverage does. Their lack of humanity is unbelievable. And he further clarified in that same interview, Camerota asked, so in other words, for lower income Americans, you're saying this is going to require some sacrifice on their part. And he responds, yes, I think that's fair. So during the campaign, I don't remember Trump talking about sacrifice. I don't remember you guys talking about sacrifice. I remember you guys telling us it was going to be cheaper, it was going to be better, it was going to cover more people. Now, all of a sudden, after the campaign, oh, no. Sacrifice. Just who cares? Don't eat, whatever. You do whatever you got to do. It's all about choices. Now, that's interesting that Chaffetz says that, because here's a choice the Republicans made in this legislation. They decided to give a giant tax break to the richest people in the country and to multinational corporations. Well, that's an interesting choice you made. It turns out Jason Chaffetz and his fellow Republicans think, well, you know, I love my rich donors. iPhones for everybody if you're rich. Oh, with those tax breaks, you could buy literally thousands, maybe millions of iPhones in combined. Millions of iPhone for you, iPhone for you. You're getting billions of dollars in tax breaks. That's a choice Chaffetz made. And then when it comes to the poor, he's like, hey, that's your problem, man. Yeah, hey, some of you aren't going to have insurance. Tough crap. Shouldn't have voted for a Republican, idiot. Then the rest of the press says that Chaffetz walked it back. Let me show you the interview where he theoretically amended what he said. He didn't amend it at all. Watch.
Comments too that you made on CNN about people making a choice between buying an iPhone and buying healthcare, and you said people are going to have to make sacrifices. Some folks didn't like the way that came out.
Well, what we're trying to say, and maybe I didn't say it as smoothly as I possibly could, but people need to make a conscious choice, and I believe in self-reliance, and they're going to have to make those decisions. Sometimes you got to make some decisions in your life and where to make those investments in your healthcare, maybe a health savings account, which this plan that was introduced is very heavy on.
Really expensive.
Those are the types of things that you need to make a choice and a decision in your life. And as an adult, you get to make those decisions and live by those consequences.
So he did not amend what he said at all. He just doubled down. You heard it right there. It's amazing how the rest of the media apparently doesn't speak English. Did you just not hear him? He said, you got to make the choices, man, and you got to face the consequences. So now you understand. You vote for Republicans, the consequence is you better be a millionaire or a multinational corporation. Because if you're not, you're going to get crushed. And then afterwards, they're going to laugh at you and say, so what? So what? You're not a rich donor of mine. I made a choice. I chose my rich donors over your well-being. Sad day for you. Well, elections have consequences. Thanks for clarifying. Okay, now let me go to Carson. Ben Carson is giving a speech at the Housing and Urban Development, and the staff is all there, and he's going to tell them about the American Dream. Well, that sounds lovely. He's going to tell them about immigration. That also sounds lovely, and how they came here for opportunity. And then he added something in there that doesn't make any sense at all, because he's Ben Carson. Listen to the very curious remarks he made.
Not 8 hours a day, but 10, 12, 16 hours a day. No such thing as a minimum wage. They work not for themselves, but for their sons and their daughters and their grandsons and their granddaughters, that they might have an opportunity in this land. That's what America is about. A land of dreams and opportunity. There were other immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships, worked even longer, even harder for less. But they too had a dream that one day their sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, great-grandsons, great-granddaughters might pursue prosperity and happiness in this land.
Really, they were immigrants at the bottom of a slave ship. Now, look, if you're being super generous to Ben Carson, you say, look, the guy's a schmuck, doesn't know what he's talking about. He didn't mean immigrants, he just meant what? But okay, if I were to be generous and put the immigrant word aside, let's talk about the rest of that sentence. And they worked for far less. No, they worked for nothing because they were slaves. He constantly misuses the word slavery. I don't think there's some chance he doesn't know what it means. You don't work for less when you're a slave. You work for nothing. You are enslaved. It is literal. You're bound up in chains, you're whipped, and if you disobey enough, you're murdered, let alone all the other horrible things that go along with slavery. And dream, here, let me tell you more about what he thinks the slaves were dreaming. He says, do you know of all the nations in the world, this one, the United States of America, is the only one big enough and great enough to allow those people to realize their dream? And this is our opportunity to enhance that dream. That's what America is about, a land of dreams and opportunity. It wasn't a dream for them. They didn't choose it, they were in chains. It's not like the slaves were like, hey guys, I got a dream that my great-great-great-grandchildren, after we're all enslaved and lynched and murdered and have to work for generation after generation for free and whipped and raped and all those things, and they take our kids away from us generation after generation, then I have a dream later that somehow miraculously it will turn into a land of milk and honey for me. That's not how it happened. They didn't dream that and voluntarily become slaves. They were enslaved. He just, you know what it is, guys? It's that conservatives are missing the most important thing, if you ask me about humanity, which is empathy. Now, you would think Ben Carson's black, can't he have empathy for other blacks? No, it's a temporal issue in this case. He didn't live in that time. So that was their problem, not his problem. That was his great-great-grandfather's problem, not his problem. Ha ha, sorry, grandpa, they enslaved you and moved your kids around and raped your wife and all that. So, hey man, thanks for the dream. There was no dream, it was a nightmare. It was a total and utter nightmare. Stop treating it like it was some sort of thing that was bestowed upon Africans. That's not how it worked. How much do you want to excuse all the horrible things that happened, Ben Carson? Why? Because his benefactors love it. This is why they pay him money for his speeches and for his books. There's all good black man telling us slavery was just fine. Then he realizes, oh, I'm in trouble. This is, I'm not playing well. He changes it a little bit, comes out and says, well, slaves came here as involuntary immigrants. Well, that's a new phrase. They love to invent new phrases, and they're involuntary immigrants. In fact, he's going to go on with his buddy Armstrong Williams and try to clarify.
I think people need to actually look up the word immigrant. That's whether you're voluntary or involuntary, if you come from outside to the inside, you're an immigrant. Whether you're legal or you're illegal, you come from the outside to inside, you're an immigrant. What? Slaves came here as involuntary immigrants, but they still had the strength to hold on.
Okay, I'm not sweating the word immigrant. What I'm sweating is that you don't understand how slavery worked. But don't worry, I'm sure everybody's comforted by the fact that they're not slaves anymore. It's not torture, it's enhanced interrogation. It's not slavery, it's involuntary immigration. Okay, he now realizes, that wasn't enough either. Then he goes on Facebook and posts this. Says slaves were ripped from their families and their homes and forced against their will. After being sold into slavery by slave traders, the immigrants made the choice to come to America. The two experiences should never be intertwined nor forgotten. So obviously Ben Carson did not write that, because Ben Carson, the real Ben Carson, you heard for yourself. You saw him in the video, you saw him in the interview. This is what a PR person wrote and said, hey Ben, knucklehead, you idiot, slavery was a bad thing. It wasn't just involuntary immigration. They didn't do it because they thought there was opportunity. They did it because they had no choice. So I'm going to write this for you because you're so goddamn stupid you can't figure it out. And then I'm going to put it on your Facebook page so that we can try to end this controversy that you needlessly started. Now, to give you a sense of further why he doesn't understand slavery, remember his past comments. Here's what he had said about Obamacare. He said, you know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery. And it is in a way, it is slavery in a way, because it is making all of us subservient to the government. And it was never about health care, it was about control. Yeah, I remember the other day when I went to Obamacare and it whipped me and it took my kids away. Come on, man, just have some sense of decency. I know, you want to sell books and you want a big government post so you can get your name out there more, so you can do that lecture circuit, and instead of charging $10,000, $20,000 a speech, you want to charge $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and boy, it plays well in the right-wing circles, right? Come on, don't worry about slavery. And how it has cascaded throughout history and led African Americans in a situation where they're greatly disadvantaged. No, that's just them crying. Boo-hoo slavery. No, you're right. Obamacare is just as bad. Oh, the Obamacare that costs you like 1.4% extra in taxes? Slavery. Okay. I'm going to read you one last quote from the same speech to give you a sense of what might have happened to Ben Carson. He says, every human being, regardless of their ethnicities or their background, they have a brain, the human brain. You can't overload the brain. Have you ever heard people say, don't do that or you'll overload your brain? You can't overload the human brain. Maybe that's what explains it. Because all this time we've been wondering, what in the world happened to that neurosurgeon, that brain surgeon, that actually knew what he was doing and was a successful doctor? Maybe he overloaded his brain and this is what was the result. All right, I got to take a break and I got to tell you about WikiLeaks. We'll be right back. All right, Tina Two Turn writes in, Chaffetz's comments about materialism related to health coverage is straight up contempt for the poor. Yes, that is evidenced in a lot of what they do, including a lot of what we're going to share with you guys in the second hour. Greg Elby says, how about Congress no longer gets health care, legal bribes, etc., unless they do their jobs? Can that be Chaffetz's choice? Wolf-pack.com, so that it's not a choice. We make them actually represent us. Jefferson Smith says about the Ben Carson story, involuntary immigration. Yeah, it's called human trafficking. Annie O'Neill says they were alternative immigrants. Like alternative facts, now we have alternative immigrants. And Jeremy Kohler hits on something that I think maybe JR mentioned in the production meeting we had. The scarier idea is that Carson actually understands, but thinks slaves were lucky that they were brought here of all places. There's some chance he actually thinks that. Anyway, I don't want to go any further into Ben Carson's brain. We might not be able to get out. $50 from Jose from Puerto Rico. That's for our journalism drive, tytnetwork.com/go. We're going to hire some great, great people. And we're going to do that when we reach 1.5 million. And every day I get a little bit more nervous about the reporters that we need to hire. I've got some great folks that are definitely coming in that batch. Let's make it happen. And $50 from Leanne in Washington. Thank you, guys. All right, now let's go on to the last story in the first hour. Okay. WikiLeaks with another giant revelation. This time they hacked the CIA and are revealing some of their most devastating programs. It's devastating to our privacy and perhaps to our health, as you'll see. Mediate explains, WikiLeaks released thousands of documents on Tuesday claiming that they hold significant details about the CIA and their capabilities for hacking and cyber espionage. Well, that certainly is true. So what's in there? The documents contain information about various infiltration codes, cyber warfare strategies, and the ability to turn phones and TVs into recording devices. WikiLeaks said in a press release that they obtained this information from an isolated, high security network at the CIA's Center for Cyber Intelligence. Man, those guys at the CIA gotta be pissed. They're supposed to be the guys who, you know, guard all these secrets, and they bungle it into the WikiLeaks. And people are going to want some sort of accountability here, which of course the CIA does not want, and that is going to lead to more anger on their end. Now, why are they going to want accountability? Well, when we explain the details of what they can look into here, you're not going to be comfortable about it. The CIA, according to Mediate, had created, in effect, its own NSA with an even less accountable and without publicly answering the questions as to whether such a massive budgetary spend on duplicating the capacities of a rival agency could be justified. So if you aren't already mad about the invasion of privacy, they also misspent your money and are now doing what the NSA is already doing, which is already, in not just my opinion, but the opinion of some judges, unconstitutional. But we all merrily go on anyway. So let's get to the details. Now we go to the New York Times. Among other disclosures that, if confirmed, would rock the technology world, the WikiLeaks release said that the CIA and allied intelligence services had managed to bypass encryption on popular phone and messaging services such as Signal, WhatsApp, and Telegram. According to the statement from WikiLeaks, government hackers can penetrate Android phones and collect audio and message traffic before encryption is applied. So oftentimes these companies will say, and that's great, they say, no, we won't turn over the records to the authorities. That with warrants, they eventually oftentimes do. But if you're going on a fishing expedition, we're not going to allow that. Well, apparently the CIA has figured out how to get the information before it's encrypted. So whether it's a phone call, it's a text message you sent, or it was a message that you sent on one of those popular apps you thought was safe, not safe after all. It only gets worse and worse. One of the programs, codenamed Weeping Angel, uses Samsung smart televisions as covert listening devices. According to the WikiLeaks news release, even when it appears to be turned off, the television operates as a bug, recording conversations in the room and sending them over to the internet to a covert CIA server. So it goes through the internet to the CIA server. You don't have to be using it. It doesn't have to be on. It's a bug in all your homes if you've got a smart TV, let alone the things that they're capturing from your phone. So when people said this in the past, they'd say, oh no, don't be ridiculous. That's just the stuff of fantasy and movies. Nope, it turns out they've been doing it all along. By the way, the New York Times talked to a former intelligence official who looked at the documents and said, they look authentic. They look exactly how we wrote them, we would write them. It's not 100% confirmation, and the CIA, of course, refuses to comment. But so far, nobody's made any loud declarations that they are not authentic. If anything, it appears to be the opposite. And by the way, on the Samsung TV, Samsung admits it. In their manual, in the fine print, back in 2015, if you look at it, it says, please be aware that if your spoken words include personal or other sensitive information, that information will be among the data captured and transmitted to a third party through your use of voice recognition. So it's not a conspiracy theory, it's in the manual. It's in the manual they gave you when they gave you the TV. But it's not just TVs, it's phones. It's also, and here's where it gets more disastrous, your cars. Now we go to Left Lane News. Now that's about driving, it's not about politics. They say the US Central Intelligence Agency's hacking division has allegedly explored vulnerabilities to vehicle systems. One document outlining a 2014 meeting for the Embedded Devices Branch lists vehicle systems, e.g. VSEP, as a potential mission area. The VSEP acronym is not identified, though it surfaces later in a note regarding QNX that says big player in VSEP. They explain all these terms. Basically, bottom line is, these are the things that are in your car that you talk to, Bluetooth, etc. But it doesn't just end there. First, let me give you the lesser of the problems, then I'll give you the worst problem. Less extreme applications for intelligence gathering might include eavesdropping via hands-free microphone or tracking of the vehicle's location, potentially utilizing modern vehicles' cellular modems for real-time monitoring. Now you might think, well, why is the CIA going to record a schlep like me? What do they care where I'm going? Well, unless you're a political opponent. Now, so far, we've had someone who was fighting to keep their immigrant parents in the country targeted by ICE. Right after she gave a political speech, she was arrested. Last night, Khizr Khan, the father of the fallen soldier that spoke at the DNC against Trump, he said his visa was questioned, even though he's been a US citizen for 30 years. The Trump administration calls journalists the enemy of the state. enemy of the people. There's actually a story from a former intelligence official out today saying that the Trump administration is beginning to target journalists with the help of Russian intelligence. Now they don't need Russian intelligence. They could just turn to American intelligence. And they still don't get it. They're in charge of the government. So this is now all at their disposal. Okay. Now, by the way, it doesn't have to be as something, if you're not political and you think, well, I'm a dentist, I'm an accountant, I'm a plumber, I don't really care about politics, they're not going to target me. Unless, of course, there's some dude who works in your neck of the woods who gets your information and wants to mess with you. He doesn't like you, or you slept with his wife, or he's sleeping with your wife. Now, all of a sudden, he's got your information. It is going to be an unbelievable mess. Okay, I haven't gotten to the worst part yet, and here's that part. WikiLeaks explains that this being able to infiltrate your car also would permit the CIA to engage in nearly undetectable assassinations. They will be able to take control of your car while you're in the car. Now, Left Lane News mentioned the case of Michael Hastings. They're not saying that the CIA did that. This memo is, by the way, from 2014. Hastings died in 2013, but if you don't remember, he was a journalist who challenged the military and the CIA, was working on a story on the CIA, and then had a mysterious crash where his car sped out of control and he died. Now, we don't know what happened there. There's not enough evidence. I don't think there was anywhere near enough investigation, but they mentioned it in the context of it is not impossible. In fact, again, like the TVs, we already knew this was possible, and they remind us. They say, former U.S. National Coordinator for Security, Infrastructure Protection, and Counterterrorism, Richard Clark, told the Huffington Post in 2013 that there is reason to believe intelligence agencies have developed the ability to remotely control certain vehicle systems and do some really highly destructive things. So here we are, guys, right in the middle of Big Brother. Now, WikiLeaks explains why they do these releases. They said the source in a statement set out policy questions that, quote, urgently need to be debated in public, including whether the CIA's hacking capabilities exceed its mandated powers and the problem of public oversight of the agency. Well, that I couldn't agree with more. Did you guys authorize this? Did we authorize this in a democracy? Did we tell the CIA to go ahead and basically wiretap all of us to gather all that information and to use it whenever it's convenient for them or convenient for the new people in power? Did we tell them that it's okay to listen to us through our phones, our TVs, our cars? Did we tell them it's okay to develop technology that would allow them to control our cars when we're in them? I don't remember the American people authorizing any of that. And then when you ask for what was authorized, they go, oh, no, it's the CIA, you can't look into it. No. This is not yet an authoritarian government. It is supposed to be a democracy. Of course we can look into that. And the more information about it we have, the better. So I'm glad that we've at least got it from some source here. And by the way, the rest of the press, up and at them. You're not supposed to be just watchdogs of the Trump administration because you're in a fight with them. You're supposed to be watchdogs over the whole government. Do your job. Get more of this information so we can make rational decisions in a democracy. I don't think the American people signed on for this. Young Turks.